fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. It is Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. and you're right where you should be in front of your radio to get through all the fake news and just wallow in all the winning. We just keep winning and winning and I'm not tired of it yet. Nope. President Trump said we might get tired, but we're not tired of winning yet. So we're glad you're here to recount all the wins. They're so hard to keep track of and throw out the fake news and keep up with all that. And as always, every week, we are always crisp and clear coming to you on the radio. And I know we have such, you know, dramatic weather here, and it's really raining a lot, and it's wet. I know some of y'all might be worried, will I get the show? Will it reach me? Will my electrons be soggy? You don't have to worry about that with our engineer. He is like the Captain Crunch of electrons. Your electrons will come dry and crispy right to you. They will get to you wherever you are, no matter what the weather does. Our award-winning engineer has dry, crisp electrons to send to you. And he's our award-winning engineer, our executive producer, co-host, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate those kind words. You know, I throw a little bit of desiccant in with every electron that goes out.
Yeah. There you go. I knew
desiccant.
You would.
Yep.
That's good for you. I knew you would take care of them. We're there, right into the rain. I know, you'd probably be wondering, how is my radio so dry?
Yeah.
Just
Mark.
That one.
The desiccant attached to the electrons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then to try to redeem.
Look it up, folks.
Yeah, I know. Some people are Googling right now. What do you say? Desiccant? What?
D-E-S-I-C-A-N-T.
There you go.
Don't eat it.
And then here to redeem the show and to try to bring some decorum and dignity to the show and hopefully bring you something intelligible that you can carry away from the show and tell your neighbors tomorrow is our Director of Quality Assurance, Head of the Research Department, Executive Producer, Co-host, All-Around Nice Gal, Gold Star Wife, United States Coast Guard, Therese Taylor.
Great to be here.
Always good. Okay, there hadn't a lot happened this week.
What are we going to talk about tonight? I don't know what to talk about.
It's crazy. There's so much going on. We're so loaded for bear, and we got a guest going to call in here in a little bit. Jerry Carl is going to call in and share with us how things are going. But let's try to hit a few things. Let's get one easy one out of the way. I understand the coronavirus is still a little bit of a problem there in China.
Yeah.
Although I understand here they have an antidote here.
And that would be?
Bud Light. I don't know. That's what I've been hearing, that if you stock up on your Bud Light, you'd be okay. But seriously, though, you got to watch this coronavirus. And we kind of had to wonder, you know, because now they're saying 500-plus people have died.
Well, you know the numbers aren't accurate.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Come out of China.
That's what you got to wonder is, go, wait a minute. You had us worried when you said 170, right? And you're like, well, wait a minute. 170 out of 1.4 billion people? Why is that an epidemic?
And there have been those weird videos that have surfaced of, like, the men all in white shoving people into vans.
Yeah.
I mean, but who knows? I mean, I don't know. They are suspicious and weird.
Yeah, it's very suspicious and weird the way they're acting, and everybody's, you know, I mean, there's some borders have been closed and flights are being stopped, and now they're saying, oh, well, we have 500 plus. It's very weird.
Is it necessarily a death sentence? Like, if you get it, you are definitely dying?
Or
is it kind of
so.
Like a flu that you can die from, but not necessarily?
No,
Has
I think
anyone
I,
said
it's not
that?
A death sentence. I think it is a very vigorous strain that you know, you can't take lightly because you can die from it.
But
maybe
not
it's more potent.
Untreated.
You're probably
going to. Going to pass,
but you can.
You can be treated.
I think you can.
I mean, the cases in the United States are not dying; they're recovering.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Two or three in the United States? No, but now the way this is so creepy, I'm just starting to get the conspiracy thing. Is this some sort of bio warfare gone wrong?
Well,
you know,
test,
or maybe a test. They called up. Whoa, whoa,
whoops.
We broke our test tube.
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. Question. You got to wonder what happened. I don't know.
China's a closed society, so we're not going to know.
So let's shift gears because we don't know what's going to happen with that. But pray for the people in China and pray that it doesn't come here. I did want to point out that for our primary day here in Alabama, there's going to be some new in South Mobile County. There's going to be new voting machines, so you can go check with the probate court. But I wanted to remind everybody that we may have new machines, but you should be relieved because in Alabama, we have a primary where we vote. You do not caucus. No caucusing.
And no apps ran by Hillary's old people?
Run by former Hillary Clinton
regular
campaign
ballots?
Workers. Just and the ballots are actually the same. The ballots are the same, and you feed them in the same way. It's just the machine tabulates a little better. Because they used to do it. Because I poll watched before, and they literally pull a paper that looks like you pull out of a old cash register, you know, those rolls.
Yeah.
That whole thing. You got to pull that whole thing. You got to get down to the bottom where it finally tabulated it. It was a little bizarre.
Right.
A little cumbersome. So anyway, but speaking of caucuses, they had one or they tried to have a caucus this week. There was something about a caucus in the news.
Well,
I'm trying to remember
but there's
what it
no
was.
Results except the different candidates have. You know,
yeah,
maybe it's like Common
come
Core
out
Math.
And claimed.
Fuzzy. The Common Core Math was kind of fuzzy.
No
one answer. There's multiple.
Folks.
brought to you by the same people who want to control the entire healthcare industry.
Education.
And
all
education
of it. Yes.
And the everything else.
System.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I was watching that Monday night and they can't. And since then, they can't get results. They don't know what's happened with the app. Even the paper trail that was supposedly to back it up, that was all screwed up. And like you said, wait a minute. You guys can't get, 50 to 250 people in a room and count heads? And you want to run healthcare?
Well, not only did the app not work as it was supposed to, but the idea was that if you have trouble with the app, you can always use the phone, make a phone call. Well, there weren't enough phone lines. There weren't enough people to answer. No. People were getting hung up on.
It was beautiful.
Being on hold for hours and then being hung up on. I thought I was talking to AT&T or something. Come on.
Yeah, but it was so beautiful because not only do you hear this anecdotally, you can get this clip. There was one of those poll precinct captains or whatever was on the phone being interviewed with Wolf Blitzer while he was on hold on the other line.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I think they've answered. He goes, okay, Wolf, I got to go. And they're still listening.
And it's like,
he goes, do you mind we listen? Yeah, well, you can listen. And he goes, hello? Oh, they hung up. I have to dial back in and get back. They've been on hold for 2 hours.
I know. What a great comedy bit that was.
You couldn't make that up.
Comedy writers couldn't write it as well
as
what happened.
My next point was, if you were trying to give Trump a week of divine intervention of perfection and timing,
you could have scripted it.
Oh, no.
I know. I mean, it was like Monday, Tuesday.
This has been an amazing week for the Trump
really
administration
has.
And for Donald Trump individually. I mean, personally, amazing.
We were wondering, why would Nancy be holding on, to those articles of impeachment? Well, now, isn't she wondering why, too? Because it made for a Super Bowl of a week.
Thank you for holding it. You got the timing
just right
for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nancy,
if she had turned him in when she should have
long been over and forgotten.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have forgotten all about it,
and Trump would have had his State of the Union. It all fell in.
So first of all, the head of the caucus is total chaos. It's a dumpster fire.
Total meltdown.
They can't figure out anything. I mean, these people. So and then when they start getting the some of the results, Petey Boy is maybe the winner or slightly ahead of the 80-year-old socialist, and Biden comes in. I think they stole votes to get him into fourth place.
Right.
They're like, oh my gosh, we got to cheat to get Biden into fourth place, right?
Right.
And because Warren was in third place, and you're looking at this going, and the incompetence, and I had a thought about that. Maybe what it is that all the Democrats that had any common sense or sanity left. So when you went to the caucuses, you were just there, you know, with the PETA people dressed in their little lettuce skirts and the climate change people, you know, saying
with their snorkel, no cow farts,
and then the dope smoking hippies and the LGBTQ militants, and you wonder why it was crazy.
And well,
I think that could be.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, there was a clip of a woman, a Democrat, went and she said, I want to go in for Pete Buttigieg. And somehow she's filling out the card and the precinct captain for Buttigieg somehow mentions that he's gay. And she goes, what? Well, you know, he's a part of the... And it goes on. You mean he's married to a man? Oh, no, no. Give me my card back. I can't support that. And this was at the Democrat caucus. So totally crazy.
Oh, man.
There's more to unpack with that. Was this a conspiracy? To deny Bernie? To cover for Biden? Why did the Des Moines Register not publish their poll?
Suspicious.
Right?
Because they
would have forecasted Biden in fourth place.
Right.
They said, oh, technical. They've never had that problem with all the technology.
Yeah.
And then after all this is said, the DNC now says, we want to redo your doo-doo.
Yeah, except the problem is they say that the only people who can ask for a recount or a re-whatever they call it.
Are the whack jobs at the caucus?
Are the candidates.
Oh, the candidates.
The candidates are the one who had to call for a recount. And this didn't work.
And real quick, because I know we're pushing on it, the last thing, the record that is unsung, not being reported, Donald Trump, although unopposed, set a record for caucus attendance with 30,000 plus people showed up to caucus for Donald Trump. The previous record was for Barack Obama in 2012 for an unopposed president of 25,000.
Oh.
Wow.
Democrats couldn't even make their 2016 Hillary numbers. You tell me where the enthusiasm is.
That's right.
Tsunami. Trump tsunami on the way, folks. We'll be back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And folks, if you need a new church home or you just want to change of pace, you need to check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church, at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. They're down in Theodore. They're just south of I-10, north of Highway 90 on Theodore Dawes Road at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. Great church. They've been there doing this for 150 years. They know what they're doing. You've got a great pastor there, a true conservative pastor who teaches and preaches the Word of God as written, as intended. He doesn't give that New Age spin and all that nonsense. He gives you the Word of God so you can have faith and confidence and trust that you're learning what it should be. And then there's a great congregation, a lot of really nice people, warm people. You'll find good fellowship there. So give them a try. Go to Magnolia Springs Baptist Church down at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road this Sunday and check them out. They've been doing it for over 150 years and doing a great job of it. Okay, on we're going to get back to the State of the Union, the impeachment trial, all sorts of other stuff, Democrats, dumpster fires, you name it. We're doing all. But on our newsmaker line, we have calling in tonight Commissioner Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, who is also candidate for Alabama 1st Congressional District. Commissioner, good evening.
Hey, Pete, how are y'all doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. We appreciate
y'all are having too much fun tonight. I can tell you that.
Just been one of those weeks.
Well, you know,
it's a fun week.
When you win day after day, you get kind of giddy. You know,
it's hard, isn't it?
It is.
Hard to keep winning.
Yes.
It is. So we appreciate.
I tell you, I've been so proud of our president during that speech. And of course, you know, after the speech, I don't see how he holds himself together under all that pressure.
You're right. He's under a lot of pressure, but he gave. And look, I was proud of him. I know we were just talking about CNN had something about it being a dark speech or something like that. I thought it was a very optimistic speech.
It was very
patriotic.
Inspiring.
And Now, he did make some very pointed policy references, but in general, he was, I thought he was pretty magnanimous because he didn't mention impeachment one time.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have to. It was a dead issue.
It was a dead issue. He put it behind him. He didn't mention it,
yep.
You know, because, you know.
I thought he did a fantastic job. I thought Nancy Pelosi tearing that speech up, that was one of the tackiest things I've seen in politics.
Not only tacky, but criminal as well.
Well, just the precedents that set. I mean, you know, we're supposed to hold, people expect us to hold ourselves at a higher standard, especially than that.
Well, and
you know, we're supposed to be representing people, not representing our anger.
Right, and the citizens don't always, even if they do have a preference, Republican, Democrat, at a certain point they expect you to act civilly and with decorum towards one another. They don't expect you to go in there and brawl. I mean, yes, you fight at certain times and debate at certain times about an issue, but there's certain times when we're supposed to come together and give each other a little bit of mutual respect, and I don't think she realizes the damage.
I was never an Obama fan, but, you know, he was still our president. I still respect the office.
Well, right.
And I think that's what we're losing is the respect of the office itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you remember when that Joe Wilson congressman from Senator shouted out, what, in his about second State of the Union, "You lie"? And he was censured. And he was censured by the Republicans.
That's a good point. I remember that.
It was the Republicans that jumped on him. You know, of course, Democrats were angry, but it was the Republicans that jumped on him and said, "You can't yell 'you lie' at the president in the State of the Union."
Yeah.
I mean, that's something.
It was true. I mean, it was a fact.
But you just don't do that.
That's the kind of stuff some cheap talk show host from South Alabama would do. You don't do that. Polite company.
Sounds like a Jerry Springer program.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think he's from Kentucky for the record.
Oh, okay.
He's not from Alabama.
He's not from Alabama. That's for sure.
Right.
Okay, so what you got any news for us from the campaign trail? I know there's a lot of hot issues out there, and you've been in front of the bridge toll issue and working with economic development. I wonder if you had any news from the campaign trail.
Well, we're down to 26 days, and things are getting tighter and tighter. We're very encouraged where we're at. You know, some of the issues that seem to really be coming up quite a bit on the campaign trail is of course, immigration. And I'm still confused. And I say this as part of my stump speech, but I mean it from the heart. How can we provide free health care for these illegal immigrants, and we do nothing for our veterans?
No, that's a question.
And that comes up time and time. I was with some veterans tonight, talked at a relative's meeting. We were talking about veteran health care, which is, you know, something that's very dear to my heart. That's something I truly want to be to get my teeth sunk in once we get into Washington. But, you know, our veteran health care is something not to be made light of at all. But
right.
The illegal immigrant part, we've got to stop it. We've got to build a wall. We've got to finish the wall. I know the president mentioned 500 miles of it. That's a great start.
Right, but we need you up there to finish the other 1,500.
Well, you know, we need some conservative, common sense people up there. Common sense is the key phrase there that can go up there and work with him and not against him and support him.
And support him and help him get these things.
Look what Romney did. He should be tarred and feathered. Now, the truth is he's probably going to be reelected.
You think so?
Really? Yeah.
I do. When you look at Utah and where he was elected from, you know, Trump really didn't have a whole lot of support in Utah, and it may have changed over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. But Trump wasn't a big winner in Utah.
Right, right.
So, but you know how crazy politics are.
Yeah, no, that was pretty bad of what he did there. I mean, because
people are like, yeah, but he's a good guy and stuff. You know what? I have a friend that's kind of in the radio business, like we are, just. Does it more because they like doing it and that's not their main gig. But long story short, this person had some real interactions with Mitt Romney in the past.
Really?
When he was in charge of Romney Care up in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Right.
And basically this person challenged him with some real cold hard facts, and he had a real dark evil side, like lashed out.
Oh yeah.
Not, I mean, he's actually not. He's always painted to be kind of like, but he's a nice Christian Mormon man, and she would tell you he's not.
That, yeah, when you
and
get
so,
him to heal.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's just the one person.
Especially at election time, it's hard to find somebody that's not a Christian. You know, and I say that.
Yeah, that's
humor,
a good point.
But
right.
You know, I never try to judge somebody on their religious beliefs. But what he did, if he does stay in office, he will serve a life of misery up there. The Republicans won't have him. The Democrats won't have him. He'll be exiled.
Yeah,
he's probably
trying
to figure out what committee he's on today. They'll probably pull him off some committees and put him on some different committees that he doesn't want.
I don't know, the arrogance, you know, my faith and my conscience. I didn't buy it either because I was trying to figure out how this fit into a... It's an excuse. But the part of it to me, the arrogance was, so what you're saying is that everybody else in the Senate is morally bankrupt. You're the only one
that could see through something.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, when
you're
somebody has to explain to you that they're a Christian, that's really the first sign to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Christ
is
supposed to be seen in our life and in our actions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't tell us about it. Don't tell us about it.
Well,
there's
time to tell you about it, but people need to be...
Right, but if I'm explaining you...
By the Spirit itself and not necessarily you be convinced by the words. But you know, another big issue, obviously, is the abortion. That's another top issue on the campaign trail. We, you know, as conservative Republicans, we're all against that. I mean, that goes without saying. But one of the things I like to compare the abortion to is sea turtle eggs. I mean, we've got federal laws protecting sea turtle nests from being disturbed, but yet it's okay to abort a child. That is telling you we've really become a twisted society.
You'll be fined or imprisoned for destroying a sea turtle egg, but you can abort a baby in the womb, and there's no penalty. Matter of fact, you might even get it paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy.
You know,
But things, you know, we've got a good campaign going on. We feel very excited about where we're at. We're actually further along than we thought. Money is always an issue in a campaign. We've had a good fundraising year. My wife and I actually started this Thanksgiving of 2018.
Right.
To give you some idea, this has been going on for a year and some odd months. But we're as excited today as we were the first day.
Well, that's
tomorrow
awesome.
We'll walk neighborhoods all day over in Baldwin County, and we'll walk them all day Saturday. Of course, we try to take Sunday off. But we're walking, we're talking, shaking hands, trying to get our message to as many people as we possibly can.
And so where can they go? What's the website to get more information if they want to ask
Jerry
you a question?
Carr for Congress, www.jerrycarrforcongress. We have got a Facebook page, obviously, Jerry Carr for Congress.
Veterans for Jerry Carr is another website or Facebook page, and you can get information. Check them out. All right. Commissioner, I appreciate you. Hopefully by this time next year we'll be calling you Congressman. You've been doing a great job out there, and we appreciate the job you did as County Commissioner. That's why people have confidence
to send you up there. I'll continue to do so. I love the people I represent. Thank you, Pete.
And it shows. There he goes, County Commissioner Jerry Carl, candidate for Congress. And, folks, we will be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a very special sponsor, ABC Signs and Shirts. And that's your headquarters for dry fit custom-made shirts, dry fit custom-made yard signs or banners, whatever you want. It's dry fit and custom-made, and it's going to be high quality. It can be signs, it can be banners, it can be t-shirts, promotional materials, your Trump hat, your Trump gear. They got it all down there, down on LaRue Steiner Road in downtown Tillman's Corner, right off of Highway 90. You can go to abcshirts.biz, or abcsigns.biz. Hey, and a special shout out to the owner of ABC Signs and Shirts, Greg Callahan, great guy, but he's been battling like wonton flu or something, or corona, whatever. I don't want to say coronavirus, but he's got some kind of wonton flu or something going on the last couple of weeks. I know he's felt really bad, so shout out. Hope you get to feeling better, Greg. And people are now streaming to your website to order more stuff, so you have to go to work whether you're sick or not. But ABC Signs and Shirts brings wit and wisdom from our 40th president.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
That always gets better and better better.
I got to do that.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Do it again?
Yeah.
Do it again.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
It's only 7 seconds. Look, that was from the Time for Choosing speech in 1964.
Yeah.
And we've used it before, I know, but I was going through, and it was like the whole impeachment stuff.
Right.
Or talking about the State of the Union. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right, yeah.
And they just make up stuff, you know?
And can't applaud or do a standing O for the lowest black unemployment. And the camera panned, you know, to the Democrats and some of the women in their white dresses and stuff, you know.
Right, and they can't stand
African-Americans sitting there not applauding, not doing anything for the lowest black unemployment in this nation's history.
Right.
For the lowest unemployment of women, Hispanic. I mean, pick a demographic.
Everybody.
Teenagers,
everybody's
young
winning.
People.
Teenagers, Asian Americans.
Come on.
You know, Indian Americans. Well, maybe not, because Elizabeth Warren might be out of a job. But everybody is doing it. The other one was good picture was he said 72% of all new jobs last year were filled by women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they pan to the Democrats wearing white for women's suffrage.
And they're not.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting
on their hands.
And it's like, wait a minute. That was for. So, look, now those things I kind of get, you know, we don't want to bless your policies show agreement. Mm-hmm. Like one of them, I think Tlaib got up and left, and she tweeted the reason she got up and left because he was celebrating 10 million. We got 10 million people off of food stamps.
Right.
Well, she tweeted out, you're taking food out of people's mouth that they need. No, no, you
no.
Said they're off of food stamps because they got a job.
And they can
don't
buy
need
more.
It.
Right.
Now they can buy their own food. They have their dignity returned. They make their.
But this seems to be the underlying problem with the Democrat Party is that, first of all, they think the pie is only one size, and you
right.
know mm-hmm. if you get a slice that's bigger than yours, then
right.
you're
someone else.
You know, bake another pie.
Exactly.
Americans bake another pie when
right.
we run out of the first
Democrats
one. Okay,
don't. They're
Democrats
gonna,
don't.
They're going to keep cutting the same pie.
But
yeah.
but that's the underlying you know theme. Of everything
that's
is that
the main
everybody
philosophy difference.
It everybody is. Has yeah. nothing until the government gives it to you.
Right.
That's what they want. That's what they think it is. And it's not.
It's the opposite.
It is actually yeah. the opposite. But we have danger there because we have a lot of young people who absolutely believe
oh, yeah.
that if the government doesn't give it to me, I ain't getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, your millennials, I think a lot of them, and I've met some and talked to some.
Yeah.
One of the reasons they're really so enamored with Bernie is because they're utterly convinced that it is impossible that they could ever afford health care.
Right.
That
yeah.
if the government doesn't give it to them, they will never afford it. And I'm like, no, that's not
well, and
true.
They largely, they don't understand really how that works. And they've grown up listening to their parents have to complain about insurance is so high, which is true.
It is.
So they don't have a true understanding of, oh, how do you really fix this problem? And it's none of the ways that
well, Obamacare
been thrown out there.
Doing, I mean, that doubled health care costs, but
and if you look into Bloomberg's policy statements on health care, it's like, wait yeah. a minute, did I just fall asleep or did I time travel back
to 2008? Yeah.
yeah.
I mean,
was this 2008,
I'm hearing
2009?
The same thing that didn't
right.
and wasn't true then and didn't work
yeah.
then.
And they had their shot.
And you think you're telling me the same
yeah.
thing. If you like it, you can keep it. We're going to lower the cost. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I've heard this song before. I couldn't dance to it then.
Well, they think if an old white billionaire tells you, you might believe it.
That's no joke.
Maybe that's what they're trying.
It's really no joke. Yeah.
I mean,
He's got that little line.
And sidebar, I don't think Bloomberg thinks he has a snowball's chance of winning the nomination and or the presidency, but he is doing as much as he can to sully the president. He's spending all this money just to denigrate the president. That's the only reason, because he's not going to win.
Right.
He knows he's not going
to
win.
But that goes back to the impeachment thing and all of this. It's all to sully the Trump. They knew they were not going to remove
the
president. There was no way they would get 67 votes in the Senate to move. They knew that wasn't going to happen. So why did they do it?
Yeah, to sully him up for the 2020 primary, for the 2020 campaign. But the thing is, it has backfired on them big time.
Yeah,
big time.
And back to Bloomberg. My only concern or issue that I have with him spending the amount of money that he's spending, knowing,
yeah,
my heart, I believe he knows he can't win. Mm-hmm. It's like, why aren't you taking that $100 million
and actually helping
somebody?
Yeah,
helping vocational training for people to get jobs. We need people with vocational training.
You could really transform some things.
You could
to do the good
amount of money
you keep
spending,
talking about in your ads.
You could, because just looking at it, I mean, he's got to say, "Yeah, I think I can win," or otherwise he wouldn't have any support at all. But he's got to know that he can't win. He's smart enough. I think he's smart enough.
You would hope he's smart enough.
You never know.
Who spends $1 billion?
Well, here,
really,
who honeymoons in Russia?
Well, that's true.
People that are sold out to communism and socialism, they're actually often more times committed than
well, that's true.
We
no,
are.
Bernie.
I mean,
is no
honestly,
doubt.
They
he's
do,
a committed
yeah.
Marxist. There,
well,
there is, there is no
saying,
doubt. There is no doubt about
who
that.
Who knows why they're doing the things?
Yep. No, there's yep. no doubt yep. about that. But we have to get back to the State of the Union real quick, because we kind of got off that too quick. The other thing, because you were talking about the statistics, and I kind of get some of those points about, hey, you know, I don't want to condone your policies, even if there's a success and there's good. But the ones that drive me nuts is when they do the clearly incredible, uplifting American story.
Mm.
A man who was on drugs, a veteran who was on drugs, and was able to get off of drugs and lift himself from addiction and get a job and get back to work and reunite with his family. That's an American story.
Yeah.
You know, the 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman, one of the last ones.
Yes.
This was one of the
first black fighter
pilots in World War II. First black fighter pilots we ever had. World War II, back when the military was still segregated, this guy answered the call to his country, was a combat decorated, I don't know if he was an ace or not, but he apparently had a very distinguished flying career as mm-hmm. a combat pilot. He's 100 years old. He can still stand up, and he's there with his great-grandson, 13 years old, who wants to be in the new space. What a great American story.
That one could bring you to tears just because it's –
it's America.
It's just the American dream.
That here, even though he grew up in segregation, he served his country. He served it well. He made sacrifices, lived his life out, and has all turned around. And at the end of his life, he is hailed a hero by the president of the mm-hmm. United
yeah.
States, as it should be. What a
and
great
promoted.
And promoted to Brigadier General. What a great American story. You can't stand up for that?
Yeah. No.
Or you rip his name out of the what?
Yeah. Gets
that
up
was the other thing about
else.
Nancy ripping up is you ripped up General McGee's name.
Right.
You ripped up or the family.
The
family reunited.
Reunited or the young girl
who got
a scholarship.
So she goes
the president awarded her a scholarship
yeah.
during the State of the Union so that she didn't have to go to an inner city failing school.
Yeah, and her poor single mom standing there like, this is great.
And she's all happy.
Yeah.
And all the Democrats just sneering.
Well, and then he had also the Gold Star family, which I identified with because the kid was mm-hmm. close to my son's age. And just, again, the dad's not here on the earth because of Soleimani.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, sore subject there. You know, but still, like, this is the reality. This is why it was a great thing we took that guy out.
Yeah.
That's just one representative family of many that horrible person was in charge of killing.
Another part of the great.
It really, I mean, that
story.
And then Rush Limbaugh. Honestly, the whole gallery was filled with just amazing American musicians.
What
it
did
was
you
good.
Say?
It
what
was
did
fun.
You say about the Rush Limbaugh? Cool thing about that?
Yeah, it just said, if you don't think Trump is successful, then how else would you get all those Democrats to attend Rush Limbaugh's award ceremony? Only he could do it.
But
he did it. Right.
Only Trump.
Yes, only Trump.
And that was very moving to see Rush Limbaugh. And the funny thing about that, now Democrats are all saying, why should he get it? Why did he do that? And they don't get it.
No.
And they're so bitter. So bitter.
Yeah.
And petty about everything. Anyway, all right, we got calls and texts next to 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, we've got your lines open for calls and texts at 251-343-0106. So look, if you've got comments about the State of the Union, if you've got comments about the Iowa caucuses or questions about the impeachment trial, but was looking at the impeachment trial and the acquittal and you know, why did they go through all that? I want to go back to the State of the Union about him. I got myself off track there for a second. He really sort of kicked off his campaign. Was really the kicking off of his campaign.
Well, you know, I mentioned this during the break. To me, as I sat and watched it, it appeared to me that here was the CEO in a board meeting laying out what
and you're a board member,
and I'm a voting board member, and laying out what I've accomplished, what this company has accomplished over
and what we're going to do going forward.
That was number one. I got, you know, some people say, well, it's just facts and figures, all statistics, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I'm interested in that as a voting board member. I want to know that. Also, it was very, very inspirational, very positive, you know. And he also went in and, you know, did the job application. It was like, this is what we've accomplished. I have a whole lot more that I think we can do, you know, but I need to have my contract renewed kind of thing. I thought it was perfect as far as a State of the Union address. I mean, sometimes we'll hear, you know, all of these soaring allegories and, you know.
Well, he talked about accomplishments.
And you know, that's fine. But when you when you don't have any meat, you know, the gravy is not enough to sustain you.
He had several legislative initiatives he mentioned in there. We talked about the great American stories. Really, the other thing is he was very emphatic and bold about the First and Second Amendments.
Yes.
We are going to defend the Second Amendment. Yep. That we will defend public prayer.
Right.
And right to public prayer in school. He was very emphatic about that, very emphatic that we would not, again, be a socialist country.
Right.
I mean, he was very emphatic about all those things. I think with the record, with the things he wants, and then look, the polls are coming out. Gallup had him at 49%, which is the highest. You think, oh, it's only 49. That's the highest of his presidency, and guess what? It's like 4 or 5 points higher than Obama at the same point in his presidency.
Right.
And then another poll had him over 50%. I forget which one. And then some of the internals. He had, I think on the economy, he has a 63% approval rating.
Right. Yeah.
Those are kind of astronomical. Because you know you got to take about 30% of leftist wackos off the top, right?
Yeah.
So if you got to 63, you're doing pretty good. And now you mentioned something in the break that I think could be devastating. And this may explain why the Democrats are bat crap crazy panicking.
Yeah.
Well, usually they get 95% of the black vote.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
If he's able, and he got I think 8%, so he dug a little bit last time.
Yeah.
I don't know where that number is, but they're saying he's got approval ratings from 20, 30. I've even had somebody said he got a 42% approval rating in the black community. Right. I don't know where it is, but I've seen 20 to 40.
Right.
And I don't know the exact number, but I believe it's somewhere north of 15. percent, he not only ensures that he wins in a landslide, as it'll that number goes so, up, yeah. the down ballot.
Yeah.
Down
yeah.
ballot, yeah. he's starting to push. He's mm-hmm. tripping. He would start tripping a bunch of congressional yeah. races mm-hmm. that could have been competitive Democrats are now out of reach.
Right.
So if he gets like 20% or more, he might run the table.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. except for California.
Yeah, except for California.
I mean, there's no way you can do that one. Okay. We got a call patiently holding a line one. Who do we have?
Hey, yeah, very patiently here. This is Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, I just want to tell you, I was born in 63, so I was around when Bear Bryant had his heyday, and I've been around here with Nick Saban having his heyday, and I was in high school when Reagan got shot. So I'll tell you that because, you know, you've seen a lot in my lifetime anyway, but I've never seen a president that caught my attention like this one has, where he almost sounds and makes me believe what I believe about bringing the religion back into schools and patriotism and all the things that he stands for and getting the economy and tying up the borders, you know. I mean, my family are immigrants, but we came over legally back in the day. And, you know, I've worked hard to make ends meet, like a lot of people are. I don't believe in the free everything. I believe in helping people by all means, but this guy seems to have everything in my age bracket, if you will, going backwards to maybe the good old days. And I just don't understand why we have such a problem with, I wouldn't say half the people, because I think even the Democrats have to believe some of this stuff is good to believe in, don't you think?
They say that, from some of the rallies, somewhere between 25% and 35% of the attendees are Democrats at his rallies. So I think they're over there. But you really hit on a good point, because, and we kind of said a little bit during the break, during the Obama years, we'd kind of gotten where pessimism had taken over. I had sort of resolved myself that I have to work the rest of my life. There's no way we'll ever be able to retire. And you know, the American dream is gone. Will we ever have freedom of religion? You know, now I got to worry about, are they going to take my guns away? And now all of a sudden, I feel confident. I can retire if I want to. My kids can get the American dream. And now we're talking about religious. He's restored the hope that it's possible again.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Attention and my wife's attention, when he mentioned that about religion, she actually stopped and said, can you believe he's actually talking about religion? You know, I mean, because, you know, before, it's a no-no. And my kids are already grown, but they had to go through that time where, you know, they weren't allowed to say the Lord's Prayer. And I remember when I was in elementary, they actually gave me a small little Bible, the little small Bible that my teacher used to have us read a verse. I always picked the shortest one because I wasn't very, you know, wanting to get into one of the long ones. But, you know, and it's just
Jesus
what a
wept.
Difference this guy has brought it back. So I'm enjoying your show, and I'm just pro-America. God bless America.
Yeah, all right. We're with you.
Thank you for calling.
Jesus wept.
No, you know what? He captured it. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
You sat there, and I was really moved. And my wife would come running out and go, you're crying again, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
That's me.
But it was moving, but you're optimistic. You filled with pride when you saw the Tuskegee Airmen and his great-grandson, and you saw the service members and the Gold Star family.
Yes, it's very moving, and we can relate to it. And for those of us that have worried and paid attention so closely, it's a great relief after enduring 8 years of Obama.
It is a huge relief.
It's just, again, go back to we did that. We endured it. We gritted our teeth. We were watchdogs. We did what we could, but we did none of these shenanigans and all of this ugliness. Yeah.
But it gives me, I was going to give you, there's another little bit of emotion that twinges me when I see that. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Gold Star family, that family where they were reunited. I have a twinge of anger. And that twinge of anger is, how can we let our citizens down? Look at our families, especially the military families, what they've sacrificed and how they've served. We cannot let them down. And the citizens, we cannot let them down. The Congress and the leaders must do better. But hey, we're still winning. Tune in next week to see how much more we're winning. Y'all have a great weekend. Try to stay dry. Honey, it's time to come home.